How do you explain that the 2016 census revealed an increase in the number of children with disability?
I think this is a really interesting result. What it shows is that families and young people themselves are starting to think about their support needs as something that we might need to count as disability. And so partly it's an artifact of what happens when you ask a question a particular way.
Right. So now, before 2006, disability was not counted at all. So how is the census defining disability now?
So the census only counts disability if you or your parent on behalf of you declare that you have a need for assistance. So what's strange about this is that it's better than before 2006 when we didn't count disability at all, but now we still don't even count those people who themselves identify as having a disability but don't identify as needing assistance. So this number of an additional 40,000 is probably a gross underestimation of how many people there actually are with disability in Australia.
Did you find that there may have been a lot of parents out there who just didn't know what to put, and even they weren't considered?
Yes, I think there's probably three groups of children with disability in Australia. The first are those that are counted in the census, and that's the extra 40,000. But then there's those that, as I've already said, don't really identify as needing assistance. And then those who don't think about their needs as disability, for example, a young child or a child who the parents think of as just being difficult or having some behaviour problems and so on. From the government's point of view or bureaucratic categories, we might call that disability, but those parents and that child don't.
Right. So I believe that it's about 10% of Australians who are not officially counted.
Yes, so that 10% is probably, it has been estimated on the basis of the World Health Organization that estimates that around the world most countries have about 15% of people have disability, and our census only reveals about 5%. So we can probably increase the number of people with disability twofold beyond what's actually counted.
What could you see as the impact of not gathering all that information?
The problem with not counting that extra 10% is that it makes it very difficult for people to make claims about their rights as citizens. And so it's very difficult for government to be planning about what sort of adjustments they need in the community. For example, last week we had the very unedifying example of Pauline Hanson talking about whether or not children with autism should be included in mainstream schools. That's an example of where if the government is not aware of the number of children with disabilities more generally, they're not going to be planning for the resources that are needed in schools to make their education and childhood as equal as other children.
Right. How about this NDIS package?
This is a very important reason why the census data is so vital for planning. So the NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, has been costed on the basis that there's just under 500,000 people with disability in Australia likely to need NDIS financial support. In fact, this census has revealed another 100,000 people. So even on this very conservative count of people with a disability, it's meant there's a 20% of people who are not yet likely to be taken into account in the funding arrangements for the NDIS.
So that's how it's going to help children with disability? It's more funding?
Yes, the strength of the NDIS is that it's an entitlement system. It's not a ration system. And so it means that if a child has needs that that are within the definition of requiring support from an NDIS package, then those needs will be funded. Obviously, NDIS is still in the process of being rolled out, and there's still steps that need to be confirmed about how to make that happen. But in the long term, so we're estimating by 2019, those children that need the support under that definition will get the support. And in fact, that's already happened in the NDIS implementation so far. There's been more children have come forward in the areas that have where NDIS is operating, and the level of support that they are getting is higher than was expected. So those are very positive moves for children and family in terms of the support that they need, and NDIS recognising that.
Yes, absolutely. And so the results are out, and as you've said, there are children who were missing out in the census. How can we trust the data, and what's the lessons that needs to be discussed around it?
I never trust data. I'm a researcher. I think what you can trust is that the data counts what it purports to count, and that's only according to its particular definition. So here it is, people who filled out the census that saw themselves as needing support and felt that it was worthwhile filling in that box. And that's a very important step, because people who interpret the data, like myself, or more importantly, the government who uses the data, know that it's not a full set of, it doesn't have a full profile of all people who need the support, but it's a good start.
Okay, cool. Karen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Joel.
It was very interesting.
Okay, see you.
Thank you, bye.